The former chief prosecutor for the northwest of England, Nazir Afsar, was this week appointed as the chairman of the Catholic Church's new safeguarding body in England and Wales. The independent inquiry into child sex abuse found that between 1970 and 2015, the church received more than 3,000 complaints of child sexual abuse against more than 900 individuals connected to it. Today, the Archbishop of Canterbury has had to apologise after it emerged boys had been viciously beaten whilst on Church of England summer camps. We can speak to Nazir Afsal now. Nazir, good evening and welcome back.
Good evening to you, Phil.
Can you tell me whether it's the Church of England, the Catholic Church, or whether it's some of the institutions you had to deal with when you were putting away the Rochdale groomers? What are the commonalities of institutionalised abuse?
That's a big question, and it's not limited to places of worship or even the streets. It's the media. It can be anywhere where there is a power differential, people with power and people who don't have power. I've dealt with cases involving schools, hospitals, sports clubs, you name it. Sadly, it's a scourge found in many communities and many institutions. And what you tend to find, as I said a moment ago, it's about power. So you have people in positions of power or responsibility. You have vulnerable people who are within their web, so to speak, whom they groom over a period of time and ultimately abuse. And as you've just indicated, when you mentioned the Church of England, there is no institution. I can't think of any institution, actually, Phil, which has got this issue under control. And that's today, never mind the years ago. Historically, we've known that they have failed those who they should have been safeguarding. But even today, that's still happening. And that's the worry, is that we probably haven't learned as much as we need to about how do we tackle this. Some people in positions of power have been able to cover up what happened. There have been others who've sat by, bystanders, who've assisted simply by not doing anything. If people did report their concerns or report what happened to them, they were either ignored, or if they weren't ignored, nothing was ever done in relation to what they came and told people. So that's what we're dealing with. It's something that, sadly, that, as I said, can be found in any sector of society. The reason why I've taken on and agreed to take on this role is because the Catholic Church have accepted and recognised, following the, you mentioned the Independent Child Abuse Inquiry report last year, that they cannot continue as they previously did. You can't have an advisory board. You can't have people, just an expectation that people will do their best. You've got to have a regulator. And so what you identified is this new regulator, an independent regulator, which I will chair, which will have teeth, which will be able to hold the church and individuals within the church to account. In short, it means that if you fail to protect children, that will not be tolerated, and that will be something that we will deal with. The way I describe it, Phil, is that...
Can I just get you to clarify that in clear terms for us? When you say you've got teeth, how much power do you have? And I know you won't tolerate it because you've always been on the side of the victim.
Absolutely.
One of the lawyers who represented survivors of abuse in the Catholic Church, Richard Scorer at Slater Gordon, says a key issue now is whether your new body has enforcement powers to override resistance in church institutions. Can you reassure him?
I can. I've known Richard for a long time, and I totally accept what Richard said, that that's what he's witnessed. What we are able to do, just imagine, think of the CSSA, the body that I'm now chairing, as a regulator. Think of it as an Ofsted stroke solicitor's regulatory authority, an organization that has inspection powers, that has the ability to audit what's happening, that checks up and down the country to ensure that people are complying with the processes and procedures that have now been or will be designed, and ultimately can hold people to account if they fail to do that. That's what we can do, and that's what has not existed prior to, or still doesn't exist until 1st of June, but it hasn't existed before our initiative. And so I can reassure people that what we will have is a transparent and accountable agency, one that will put things right, one that will hold people to account. You know from your experience, as you just identified, Phil, I've never been shy about tackling without fear or favour. It doesn't matter to me who it is, or who ultimately, it's about ensuring that we have the most supportive environment for victims and the most hostile environment for those who might abuse.
How, I know you say you approach it without fear, but it must be quite daunting, mustn't it? This is a huge body in terms of number of people that you're going into to try and improve safeguarding with. And I mean, for example, do you know now that everybody is safe in the Catholic Church? You can't possibly
know that. No, you can't say that about any institution. Absolutely not. Let's be honest about this. We wouldn't need a body if we thought everybody was safe. What I've got is assurances. I've spoken to the Cardinal, I've spoken to the Archbishop, I've spoken to other members of the Church. And you have to put this in some context. Of the thousands of people that work in the Church, the vast majority get this, and the vast majority are as horrified as you and I about the abuse that has taken place in the name of the Church or in the part of the Church. And that's something that they want to and have been trying their best to deal with. What has been lacking is what we have now, a regulator that can do a lot more than what previously advisory boards couldn't do. And that's holding people to account. That's ensuring that standards are followed. That's assisting people who are perhaps wary about coming forward about their abuse. One of the key things I need to do, and we will do, is have survivors and victims at the center of what we do. I want to ensure that they can come to me and come to the board and come to the agency and tell us what's going on and do so without the fear of repercussion, fear of victimization, all of those things. You're absolutely right. The Church is an enormous body, but you know, I've dealt with cases involving massive institutions in the past, and it doesn't matter to me how big they are. At the end of the day, it comes down to one person abusing another person and others standing by, and we can't allow that to happen.
So far, what we've talked about then is you protecting victims of abuse and trying to prevent that abuse in the first place. But are there systemic things that you need to introduce quite quickly to provide a greater degree of sunlight into some of the way the Church is operating?
Well, absolutely. Talking to you right now is the start of it. I want us to be much more transparent. I want us to talk to the media, talk publicly about the work that we're doing or not doing, as the case may be, and create that level of understanding and appreciation, but also accountability. I want to ensure that victims and survivors who previously have been, there have been groups involving victims and survivors, but I want them to be very much at the center of what we do. And I've been heartened, actually, by the number of survivors groups that have contacted me in the last 3 or 4 days who've welcomed the opportunity that they can now share what's happening. It's that issue of transparency. We will, in the same way that Ofsted published reports about schools, we will be publishing reports about dioceses. We'll be publishing reports about how safeguarding is being managed. So you can see, the public can see for themselves what progress, if any, is being made and where the issues still remain. That's not been happening before in the way that we will be doing it. And I can assure people, I mean, I wouldn't take on a role unless I was optimistic that we can make a difference, Phil. And I really feel that it needs to happen, absolutely. And the Catholic Church have accepted it needs to happen, which is why we are here and what we're talking about. But this environment that we will create will protect, it'll care for, it'll listen to victims. And as I said, it'll be hostile to perpetrators. And I can assure those who are suffering right now, and they will be suffering right now, that I will be listening.
And finally, and be honest with me about this, Nazir, have you had any sniffiness towards you about your appointment? You know, what is a practicing Muslim doing poking around the affairs of the Catholic Church? Anything along those lines or not?
No, I was wary about that myself. When I thought about taking on the role, I questioned that element of it. Actually, far from it. I've had nothing but extraordinary compliments and support from people who recognize that I'm not coming here as a Muslim. I've always said that my faith doesn't define me. My faith refines me. It makes me a better person. And the point is that what the Church want from me is what my experience is. 3 decades of tackling abuse, 3 decades of supporting victims, 3 decades of ensuring perpetrators are brought to justice. And that's what I bring.
I wish you well with it, and you can check back in with us, you know, whenever you
will
have
do.
Something
I
to tell
do.
Us. And thank you for your time. That's Nazir Afsar, who is now the chairman of the Catholic Church's new safeguarding body for England and Wales, which will be known from June 1st as the Catholic Safeguarding Standards Agency.